Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Yellow Electric Seed, and it is the third day of the White Wind Wave Spell and is self-existing moon day 22. And yet there's no way you'll hear it probably until Red Self-Existing Serpent, which is Monday the 9th of November, and that is a self-existing day within a self-existing moon. So I'm going to kind of focus on forward movement here to get us into your present time reality. So let us start with that self-existing. We're finishing out the moon. I'd love to divide every 28-day moon into 4 7-day weeks, which is how it kind of corroborates with our Gregorian calendar, what we're used to. And it always starts now on a Sunday, which is also sweetly familiar to us from the Gregorian count. So the last week, which started, it was the 1st of November until the 7th, was the third week in the West, and what a week it was. So when we got to the very end of the week in the West, where a lot of transformation happens, as I so frequently describe, we got the results of the presidential election. The whole week in the West was, of course, full of foment and emotionality. Maybe it felt dark or confusing, disorienting, but it pushed us through. You know, it really is the transformation week, and I'm attached to that viewpoint until disproven. And so it seemed like it really became epic. And now we will wind down to a degree this moon of form, the fourth moon of the 13 moon year, the fourth tone of 13, always self-existing, is about creating a foundation to build from. It is about precision in planning, creating a blueprint, a drawing, something that we're going to actualize in our next stage, but right now is just very careful and precise and, you know, preconceived, thought out, detailed anticipation. And I would say that in a way, we're synthesizing what we learned in the first three moons of the year and getting into actualizing it instead of being held back from taking, you know, baby steps forward. We've been kind of in a form of a womb in the first three tones, and when it's three moons, it's a lot longer than 3 days, so it is a time that can feel, you know, like we're really reined in when we want to run free. And I want to diagram that more clearly because we're in the second year of a 13-year cycle. So we're still, in terms of our 13-year wave spell, in that time of not really being able to say, well, wait, I want to get going on this, or okay, I've heard enough. I have enough information here. I've been given the materials. Now I want to get to work. No, we're absolutely in our 13-year cycle at the front end where things are happening to us or for us. We don't have autonomy. And
So yeah, I want to look at the 13-day wave spell, the 13-moon wave spell, and the 13-year wave spell stacked this way to just say the reason that I'm using this kind of metaphoric picture of a toddler finally, you know, breaking free from parental assistance, parental control, survival is dependent on a parent. Like, there's just this will that develops and this recognition of personal freedom and capability. So in the self-existing moon, I think that that's where we have this divergent moment where the parent divinity is giving us permission, as well as we're sort of fighting to take the reins. There's this acquiescence as if, okay, I have set you up. I have given you a purpose. I've shown you that there's a challenge within this purpose because this is a growth adventure. And I have come through to reassure you and infuse you with my dynamism so that you're running not just your own energy, but you're also being supported by some kind of unseen, helpful divinity that is your angel or your guide or your ascended Mayan master. And so then in the self-existing moment, we get to forget, I think, about God for a while and get busy. I like that part of what I've said. I think that's the sort of most basic way. To just be like, in the beginning, in the magnetic tone, the first of 13, we get inundated with purposefulness, which shows us like a massive to-do list or menu of what's coming. We can feel it because it's like right in our space. We're not like looking out at the future at it. It arrives. That's the magnetic tone, the lunar tone. We're reminded that this is a journey that makes demands on us, that helps us grow, and it can feel problematic. The first moon or first tone can feel problematic, but the lunar tone helps us understand what our problems are, and yet we're still talking about problems. I'm referring to this year we're in. Blue lunar storm started on July 26. We have a long ways to go. Is a lunar year. We are like looking at our problems, problems that have already existed, but we are not going to get away from our problems. Our challenges is a different way. Remember, the noble way to regard a problem is go, oh, well, that's a challenge. I'm going to face that. Then again, in the electric tone, yes, we still have purpose. We still have problems, but we start to get a relief because there's this rumbling in our being of feeling connection to our God force, whatever that is for you. And then by the self-existing moon, things have stabilized and we're ready to take steps forward. We're ready to act. We're propelled to. It's a wave we're riding. It's not a wave we're building, but we're in the part of the wave ride where we get to specify what we're doing to be of service, how we are going to position ourselves in our purpose and against the challenge presented us to press through and give up something of ourself and feel in our beings, our God energy, what's being given to us through us wants to do something in the world. And right now, that's getting more specific. That is the difference between the electric and the self-existing tone. They are almost like amorphously one, but subdivided, like some of the states in America. They're together in many facets because one is the recognition of how we're going to be of service, and then the other, the self-existing tone, is making that itemized so that we actually get it done. And that's what we're doing right now. So this is a self-existing day that you're probably listening in a self-existing moon, or it happened recently, and you'll feel everything I'm talking about amplified. And I am moving, and I'm moving like far enough away that it's going to be one truckload, not a bunch of boxes in the back of my car. And I'm packing up somewhere that I anticipated by default I would be for decades. I didn't have a better plan. And then I have a better plan and now I'm moving. So I am probably speaking with the most force from this place of like every day in my life, because I'm in a pretty severe countdown to having to leave my home. Because it's sold, not because something terrible happened to me. I have to stay on the tasks driving me forward towards my exit. So maybe my demands each day for adhering to a very strictly regulated list of errands or packing projects is either my version of what the self-existing moon is propelling me towards, or I'm teaching about the self-existing moon just based on the coincidence that I'm moving during it. But it's actually just a helpful force of nature for doing specific tasks like moving or something that's just, you know, has lots of loose ends. Like the self-existing tone is pretty organized and it drives forward, and I'm pleased about that. Now, I think we've gotten most of what we need. We are in the lunar year. We're talking about the self-existing moon. It's a self-existing day within it. I want to touch on the presidential election and just throw out some more or last vestiges of Mayan astrology. The most important one for me is that Joe Biden is a white lunar world bridger. And we waited until the morning of the lunar day of this wave spell to hear that he won. So he stepped into or through the portal of being declared the victor in his energy within a wave spell. And that the white wind wave spell that we're in, for me, is pretty strongly about masculine spirituality or the Godhead that is male. But since that Godhead, the masculine paternal God, has dominated all colonized cultures, all Christian cultures, just to have, of course, this masculine archetype of divinity at the head as the, you know, personified rather than being like an entity or the sun itself. S-U-N, instead it's this male benefactor / punisher, and we've made this assumption or presumption that that sort of is what divinity is for a long time. It's a masculine overlord oversight from a male energy. So in the white wind wave spell, I think we get the best and worst of that. We get the best because we're going back to an original picture of a partner god that an energy, an essence, a spirit, a place mythologically that we arrive when we have completed embryonic attachment to our mother, the creatress, the feminine divine. We spend enough time with her that it is momentously our entrance point to Earth, where we would take our first breath and we meet a paternalistic, benevolent protector, strong force. That's the spirit maybe of white wind, just as white wind itself is a strong force when we encounter it in our meteorology. But all this presumption for centuries and in a very dominating way that there is one god, a masculine portrayed person god, the shadow of white wind is patriarchy, for sure. I feel that's obvious. So, in the white wind wave spell, we have a new designated elder. I mean, he looks kind of like a proverbial old man, Joe Biden, and I think I mean that tenderly, not critically. But it's nicer to portray him as sort of maybe a more traditional elder. One thing I really enjoy about Joe Biden is that he's got a mind of his own, but it's pretty nice. Like, he's pretty nice. So he's like kind of cranky or fixated older man, but he's fixated on decency. So, and being empathetic to those who suffer. Like, that's his crotchetiness, is that we need to be kinder to each other. And he's so white world bridger. I don't ever expose myself to a lot of the televised versions of politics. I don't know. It makes me, I get uncomfortable. But I liked listening to his acceptance speech, even if someone else wrote it. It was just so white world bridger. You know, he is going to absolutely want to reach across the aisle and create consensus. And, you know, he might really be able to do it. He's a lunar world bridger. He is about bridging worlds, and he is about polarity, but bridging polarity. Couldn't really be a better Mayan assignation for this moment. And by the way, he's a lunar person, and it's a lunar year. And he took the presidency in on a lunar day in the lunar year as a lunar person. Now, I don't know how many of people listen to this, but this is the kind of thing that I care the most about. I am not a New Age person. I think I am an actual countercultural person. So, like, I am, you know, I just have a creative way of working through the world and its choices, but I am not New Age. And I love that. What that means to me is that Mayan astrology is the most interesting when I use it in an everyday way, i.e. paying attention to politics as we all do. I'm not interested in getting super woo-woo or excluding everyday events that occur and matter to most people. And I do care about so-called normal things that happen to people, i.e. American politics. So I find the most magical, super cosmic, mind-melding moments to be what I just said. Lunar president, lunar day, lunar year. At the end of the third week in the West, of the self-existing moon, which defines how, what form our service will take all of us. And we have someone who's going to tell us that our form of service that we can take, channeling God through us, because that's what service is. It's being infused, electrified by a divine source and taking it out into the world as a sort of peon or an emissary, an ambassador of such. The message is to fucking heal the divide. And there's something so cool about being an empath, which you might be as well, that, you know, we had 4 years where I felt like I could never, ever forgive the so-called other side for what has gone down. And the minute Joe Biden started suggesting it as an empath, I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. I don't want to hold on to extraordinarily a hostile divisiveness. It is so painful. It's so sick. It's so twisted. It's so wrong. But, you know, I was empathing with someone who provoked it. And now I'm empathing with someone who wants to prevent it. And I had this sense of like, oh, he probably can. You don't have to join me, but it's just like a childlike view I had. Like, what if some, you know, the progressives, you know, would just find this man in question, the white lunar world bridger, more, you know, of an aging idiot than any kind of innovator? And what if they were wrong? What if they were wrong? What if he is an innovator, even though he's really a retroactivator? Because what we really need is the simplest idea of being gentle and kind to each other. So I'm all down at the white lunar world bridger in the lunar year. Actually, just to throw this out so you know from whence this this comes, I am crossing with Joe Biden in this year because it's blue lunar storm, and I'm a blue storm and he's a lunar. So that's what a cross is. You can use that in your own life. So the other thing about the White Wind Wave spell is that it's a time of truth-telling. That's why Joe Biden won. We can just say it was dumb luck that the White Wind Wave spell is the surround for this particular election. The election happened in the Red Moon Wave spell, but the truth about it and the truth we need to hear as Americans or citizens of the world, you know, less lying, less completely such bad lying. I mean, the lying has been bad for so long, but just this idea that people want to believe that the ballots that are still being counted are somehow planted rather than just ballots that are still being counted. It takes a long time because there's so many. Like, that needs to be eradicated and truth has to come in, which is what's happened. That's what's happened. It's the White Wind Wave spell. It's only 13 days long. We only have 9 more. You can't always have truth win out. Truth. I mean, I'm not sure what truth means, but I think in this instance, it's sort of like the clear voice of God jumps in. Like, no more obfuscation and deceit. I'm blowing. This wind is so strong. It's just sort of blowing away all the bullshit and giving us, you know, a sense of urgency because of the force of the truth telling. But it's also just doing what wind does. We're in a wind day where I am. You know, literally the weather is wind, and it's because it rained the day before, and wind always comes after the rain because it's part of some kind of barometric release that kicks out all the storm clouds or the residual condensation. And it's fantastic, you know. It's just very predictable. It's rainy, and then there's a windy day. And to have that windy day during the White Wind Wave spell kind of inspires me to talk about it this way. Just blow that energy of deceit, deception, willful deceit, you know, not just like lying to yourself, but I'm just going to lie. It's a mental illness level of deceit and compulsivity. So doesn't work in the White Wind Wave spell. The wave spell after that, it could work. We'll see. So what else would you want to hear about? I should have been podcasting a little bit during or prior when we were more agitated, but honestly, I have had a lot to do. I'm going to maybe make a little point out to you and welcome your version of this, even if you reached out to me at some point in your life and told me what was going on for you. I would find that interesting. I would welcome that. When you turn 52, and particularly, you know, moving towards turning 52, the year before, the 260 days before is really important to talk about. And then you're going to have your 52nd birthday, and it will be your Mayan birthday coinciding with your natal birthday on the Gregorian. And that happens once unless you make it to 104, and it's massive. I mean, it's massive. I'm talking about it's being massive in a really self-centered way because I'm right there. I'm, you know, 2 weeks away from that. But it's massive because when it's happening, it is awesome. It is, and I don't mean like it's groovy. I mean, it creates awe. It's really an incredible portal of magic. So I wouldn't want you to not be fully committed to exploring your life, your experience in anticipation of your 52nd birthday. And then I'll let you know what it's like after you turn 52. If it's still a time to be vigilant, what is there to observe? Like, it's rebirth. But right now in my life, I am just over 2 weeks away from turning 52, and I'm 20 plus years into following the calendar, so I probably am well prepared for paying attention to this time. And oh, this is something I've been meaning to get to and I keep dropping it. If you want to jump over to a whole different podcast, it would be to listen to Fresh Air and an interview that happened with Aaron Sorkin. And it was about his film, which aired on Netflix, about the Chicago 7. But the reason it's so cool, fascinating, is because they keep talking about how they're actually using the numbers, how 1968 and 2020 are so similar. And I guarantee that Aaron Sorkin is not following the Mayan teachings. So he's a pretty like noteworthy creative artist. So you might actually find his take on things interesting, but he and the interviewer are a few times, I won't say numerous times, but more than two and more like four references to how 2020 and 1968 are really, really similar times. And they are in the Mayan, they are the same. So 1968 into 1969, just as we're now in 2020 into 2021, same blue lunar storm year. That's, again, that's a whole other piece where my mind gets kind of blown now that I am like fixated on my own 52 year rebirth. It's of course interesting to me and would be going forward to be like, well, what happened 52 years ago? A lot was going on for a while. And I've said this in recent podcasts, it's because the white wizard wave spell of 13 years that started in 2019 in the summer for us, this 13 years of white wizard enchantment and shamanism, that is so heavily replicated by the very late 60s and 70s. And as I have also said, then you get into the 80s and it's not white wizard anymore. It's not all that psychedelic grooviness and getting close to the earth and back to the land and, you know, sexual ecstasy / being high. That's the late 60s and 70s. And then we move into something else. So we have that going on. I'm pleased to observe that psychedelics, I guess, are psychedelics and hard drugs have been legalized in Oregon. And I don't mean that we all need to go there. I just feel so much like Oregon is on the pulse of natural time's orientation to White Wizard and how that is, you know, sort of a tincture-based, slightly hallucinogenic exploration that happens at the hands of a shaman. And Jose Arguelles lived for a long time in Oregon and the hub of the movement. I'm not really in the movement, but the movement that is identified as his legacy, his institution, Foundation for the Law of Time, is in Oregon. So whatever, that means very little, but again, you can tell there's a lot of joy to be had. I'm sure you feel that. I just, you know, hearing that one headline and being like, oh, this is what it reminds me is, I've never had this experience, but if you're a hostage and you're rescued. And it really, that was the first thing I thought about, how it felt in my body, in my heart, and my tears, just like, oh my God, one facet of this that has been a survivalistic endurance test, I would say strain, you know, it has been so fraught with discomfort. That part, that major part, the instigator of the school ground bully is gone on an energy level. That's the shared experience right now. And that's part of the white wizard moment, I think, of the surrounding 13-year wave spell, is being able to be empathic and feel things that other people are doing in your own body. That's pretty much what a shaman is to me. That's my definition of it. Okay, so a couple things you might want to keep an eye on if you're fascinated by the intersection of politics and Mayan teachings is that Tuesday, in this white wind wave spell of telling the truth, is when we have the white overtone World Bridger Day, and that, of course, empowers Joe Biden, the white world bridger. So see what happens for that man and for us in regard to him on that day. And then Wednesday is Blue Rhythmic Hand, and see what Donald Trump, the blue hand, comes up with. Does he come up with some form of mitigated concession, or does he just ramp up his so-called organizing, trying to find a loophole that will always elude him? But those 2 days might be interesting in this coming week as we finish up the self-existing moon. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. In Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.